Long memory verse this week. I missed one word, John says. Okay, and I'm not sure. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which once delivered unto the saints. We need to understand, we're to earnestly contend for the faith. We live in a day and age when there is so much false gospel out there. The lines are blurred. People put their arms around Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Catholics, New Age groups, and all call them a brother and sister in Christ. There's the pastor of one of the largest churches in the nation. He's in Texas, and he's an apostate because he was asked about, he made a trip to India, and I'm trying to think of the guy's name. Joel Osteen. And he turned around, and he's got a congregation of 100,000 people, what he claims. And he was asked about India when he went there, and he says, well, we all worship the same God, but in a different way. Which one of the 3,300,000 gods for India is he talking about? Okay, so you compromise when you make everything, people emphasize, well, a loving God would not do. And then they realize, because they don't understand full love, because sometimes love is painful. Real love will sometimes cause pain as it tries to protect the person from what they're doing. They say they get caught in God is love. Then you have groups that their whole religious practice is based on their emotions. And they're up and they're down and they have their salvation and then they lost their salvation. And so there's a blurring of the lines here. It's, you know, it's when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? All right, will he find the biblical faith that's supposed to be there? And we're to earnestly contend for that faith. If there's one God and one Savior, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, you know what? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And people tell you can't tell me that my good works don't count for something. You can't tell me that these so many billions of people around this earth are also condemned. And I'm here to tell you, either God's word is true or if it's not. Either Jesus is the only hope of heaven or he's not. And if he's not, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Find your own way. You'll have no peace. You'll have no security. So we need to contend for the faith. It means to fight with all your strength to promote, defend, and contest the truths of the Bible. You have to spend time in your Bible to contend for it. We like telling people our testimonies, what they need to hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. It needs to be back there. Contending for the faith is a negative aspect of Christianity. That's when you hear, well, you think you're always right, and you think you know better than everybody else. And I tell people all the time, I don't, but God does, and His Word says. And I try to give them scripture verses, because they can argue with me. People can talk to you about, you give a testimony of your salvation, and that's all fine and dandy. But if you don't give the scripture that supports that testimony, it does nothing for them other than them thinking that you can be very religious like they can be. Because what separates us is a personal relationship with the God of this book. And that's what it means to contend for Him. And Jude here, in writing this, saw it was needful to warn them. He's talking about the common salvation. You know, you tell people how to get saved. But he also was warning the believers that there was false teachers they were trying to come into the church. That's what the book of Jude is about. He said they would come in, and he was right. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be what? False teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Look at verse 3 of chapter 3, same book, 2 Peter. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their what? They make it about them. Okay, and trusting in Jesus Christ in the epistles and in Jude, that's what it's called, the faith. You know, and so they put that phrase in different songs and different things, and they'd say, keep the faith, baby. But what is the faith in? You cannot have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ outside of this book. You can't have a right, true relationship without the obedience to the doctrines, the teachings of this book. You can't get away from that. Either Jesus is the only way or he's not. Either you must confess him and accept him, or you don't. Either you can try to make up your own ways and your own choices. I fail. But it doesn't change the truth of this book. You will fail. But that doesn't relieve you of the responsibility of contending for what is true. You know how many, you know, we're primarily, yeah, we're all adults in here. If you have children, you know what? You want them to have a stronger belief and a stronger faith than you did. You want them not to make the same mistakes in life that you did. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll what? Not depart from it. People get ready. I have had to deal with some hard things this week trying to help some people. And I had to encourage them. Had to rebuke, but I encouraged them first and said, don't give up. Don't continue doing the stupid stuff you do. Continue doing the right things that you do according to God's word, and pray harder for that wayward one. If they're truly saved, God's going to bring them back around. Amen? So we see here in Jude, the first epistle of Jude. If you have more than one epistle of Jude, wrong book. Okay. In Jude, he starts off and he says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. He's giving you his background. To them that are sanctified, set apart for special use, them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus. Do you know what? Your natural preserves. Be careful you don't have too much sugar in you. Okay? You're preserved in Jesus Christ. You want to be preserved? You want eternal security? You've got to be where? In Jesus Christ. And called, mercy unto you. In peace and love be multiplied. Man, he's trying to encourage them. He's trying to help them to understand, you know, the Christian is a special person in the world. Not because of who you are, but because of who saved you and who he is in you as he keeps you. And then we have our memory verse. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it's common, it's the only way. There's not more ways to do this. The common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly, what? Contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude encouraged the believers to diligently to contend for the faith. There were certain men who had sneaked into the church and were spreading false teachings. The church was being robbed of truth, and as their understanding of truth was being twisted, they had to be stopped. To me, there's a lot of believers who are saved, they practice TULIP. It's unbiblical. total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and preservation of the saints. And what it's caused churches who practice that, they stop being evangelistic. They stop reaching. And they start thinking there's something special because they're the elect. And they don't even understand the biblical doctrine of election in the scriptures. I'm not preaching on or teaching on election this morning. But you need to understand something. People try to come in. A couple years ago, we had people try to come into the church. And you know what they're trying to bring into us? And they spoke to a bunch of some of the couples. Flat earth theory. Yeah, that the earth was flat. You can only go so far and you're going to go over this great ridge and you're going off into eternity. They believed in the flat earth. And they twisted scriptures to get that. All I know is my Bible tells me in Isaiah, he that sitteth on the circle of the earth, we're already told that it's round. You can't have the change in the studies that people use to travel all around the face of this earth because of the curvature of it and have there be anything like a flat earth. But man, they get caught on that because someone on YouTube told them so. Yep. Bringing your Bible to church and checking what is said by God's word is a must. Don't accept everything from the preacher. Check and see if it was so. Acts 17. Now, there's a group that's twisted this, the Berean Fellowship. They liked the name, they took it, but they didn't practice what it said. But in Acts 17, verse 11, it says, this is talking about, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Because they moved them out of there because they were going to be attacked for preaching right doctrine in Athens, okay? And in Thessalonica. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and did what? They did what? Whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. They searched the scriptures daily. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, okay, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, throughly furnished unto all good works. See, there's a necessity there. And you look back here in Jude, and this is early on, okay? Jude was written in about approximately 66 A.D., according to Usher's notes. From the time of his crucifixion, we've only gone 3 decades, and they've already got to contend for the truth. Because you know what happens when you don't base it? And you got to remember, if the canon hadn't been finished, people were supposed to hide the Word of God in their hearts, what they had. They had the Old Testament. The New Testament hadn't been completed yet. All right? Because you look at it, 1 John was written in 90 A.D. Okay? 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So much of the New Testament was inspired of God through the Apostle Paul. So when they didn't keep the Old Testament, which they could have, the Masoretic text of the Old Testament was the accepted text of the Hebrews, given by the Old Testament prophets in the writings. You know, you got the Pentateuch, the 5 books of Moses. You got the major and the minor prophets. You got the Psalms. You got Proverbs. You got these. They already had those. You can contend for the faith out of those. But they weren't sticking with it. And so they had this issue they had to deal with. The Bereans searched the scriptures to see where they were so. Okay, when the Ethiopian eunuch was led to the Lord, what was he reading? Isaiah. There's a thing called the Isaiah Road. There's the Tanakh Road. There's where you can show salvation through the Old Testament pointing to Jesus Christ. And he's saying here that some have turned away from you to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Verse 4 tells us, for there were certain men crept in unawares, they didn't know it was happening, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into what? Lasciviousness, in denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Lasciviousness. You know, that is, when you have that attitude, it's an attitude you think, okay, I can ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior, and then I can sin, and it doesn't cause anything. You know, divine fire insurance. You can't lose your salvation, but man, you know what? Whom the Lord loveth, he? And your life in this life, not in heaven, not in eternity, can be a mess and painful and hurting because God's trying to get your attention. Lasciviousness is an inordinate affection. You place in what you want, what you desire, above what God says is right. And they thought God's grace gives them permission to sin. Turn to Romans. We're going to come back to Jude. She needed to be a marker there. Turn to Romans chapter 6. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It's not what we should live in. We've got saved from that. Sin will bind you. Sin given into, sin, temptation given into is sin. Sin unconfessed becomes a habit. A habit becomes something that affects you in a greater way. You start getting involved in it, you don't think about it. And you know what happens? Pretty soon, that takes over the way you think. Spirit, soul, and body. When you don't surrender your spirit and your soul to the Lord, your body will start trying to take control. And you'll want something. That's lasciviousness. And pretty soon, you want it enough that it takes control. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. When you have to have it, it's wrong. The only thing the Bible says is a good addiction is addiction to the ministry. God changes and directs the heart to repent from sin and not to indulge in it or to say it's okay. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. You can't escape that. Okay? It's not okay. In verse 4 also it says, some deny that Jesus is the Lord God and the only way to heaven. When you deny the doctrine of Christ, you're denying that he is God's choice to be the penalty for you. I don't know about you. I try to live by the law of God. But you know what my Bible tells me, if that's what I'm depending on? You keep the whole law, offend in one point, you're guilty of what? All. Think about that one. In God's eyes, a liar is no better than a child molester. Think about it. How many times have some of you lied this week? How you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. Are you mad at me? No, I'm not mad at you. I just don't want to deal with it right now. Is everything okay? Yeah, it's okay. How'd your day go? It went. You know how many little lies people tell by what they say and by what they don't say? Now, I understand, you got to taste your words. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. But God sees the intents and the thoughts of the heart. So sometimes Jesus Christ is not the Lord God. I mentioned things starting off. Mormonism teaches that Jesus is not equal with the Father. He ascended to that position. Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus is not equal with the Father. And there's not a Holy Spirit, there's just a force that moves. Those are Christian so-called groups today. And the lines are blurred. Oh, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Is he the Jesus of the Bible? Oh, I trusted Christ as my Savior, but you got to go through the waters of baptism to truly be saved. Oh, nuts. Baptism is a testimony before the world, and it's an obedience to what God wrote you. It helps your conscience because you're starting to profess him like you're supposed to do. But it's not a sacrament needed for salvation. Amen? Okay. Some go the way of Cain. You find that when people add works to their salvation. What was the difference between Cain and Abel? Genesis chapter 4. Abel brought a blood sacrifice and it was accepted. Cain brought the fruit of his labor. It was rejected. The way of Cain is when you add the fruits of your labor as part of what you need to do to be saved. Should there be labor? Should there be fruit in your life? Should you work for God after you're saved? We all should, but that's not what saves us. But the way of Cain, when you hear that in the scriptures, is making a reference to trying to earn your way to be acceptable unto God. Can't do it. It's a work salvation. You know what the problem is? That's full of pride. Try to mimic a blood sacrifice with your fruit. They get upset when true believers who trust in the finished sacrifice of Christ and accept that as the only sacrifice for sin. You can't tell me. My sister Libby, for years, she'd say, you can't tell me. She had bitterness in her heart. I won't go into the reason why she did it. It was within the family. And she would hear it. She'd heard me preach. She'd been at funerals I've done throughout the family. I'd witnessed to her personally. Judy had witnessed to her personally, and she couldn't get it. She was blinded. My daughter, Heather, called her. This was like 3 or 4 years, and spent time with her on the phone and continued and just said, Aunt Libby, I don't want to go to heaven and not see you there one day. And she goes, what do you mean, honey? And she finally heard. She prayed and asked Christ to be her Savior. She went from being one of the toughest people you ever wanted to meet. You know, the tough people that nothing's supposed to bother them and they're tough and they're gruff towards you, to a big pussycat. She calls and prays with Judy and cries and says, we got to take this to the Lord. We have to give this to God. You tell her about something, it's good, and she goes, oh, praise God. That's not the way she used to talk about God when she was unsaved and she was tough. It transformed. She gave up thinking that you had to work to get there, to trusting in the one who did the work for you so you could get there. Amen? So the way of Cain, the work salvation. Want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. It's not like you want to go to hell, but you're going to go to hell in any other way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of... That's given to you twice in the book of Proverbs. It goes on there in Jude. Verse 11, the way of Cain. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of what? Balaam. Balaam is found in Numbers chapter 22. He was a false prophet. He got used of God, but you know what he did? He did finally have to give some prophecy that God gave him, but Balaam was selling his answers. What do you want to hear? That's what I'll tell you. Boy, you do that in America, you can become a great big church. That's what happens. I'll make you feel good about what you're trying to find out. I don't want to convict you of your sin. I don't want you to turn and do it God's way. See, the error of Balaam was bribed and motivated by money. He was like so many today. Some of the religious institutions today are built on money. They were tricked in thinking, they trick people and think they could buy their way into heaven. Balaam appeared holy on the outside, but he was perverse on the inside. He loved material gain and the honor of men. When he had to give the right prophecy that you can't go against God's chosen people, Israel, and that there was going to be judgment came, and they didn't know how to defeat him. Balak, the king, didn't know how to defeat him. He says, what you do is intermingle with them and bring your false teaching into them. And that was used of Satan to cause great harm to the people of Israel. That way of Balaam, the error of Balaam, was to thinking you could buy your way into the grace of God. I had mentioned before, I run into so many different things. I'm on that back end, of, like I said, I'm one of the oldest preachers in the area. Pastor Caleb says that, okay? He goes around and people call up and they want to ask. I don't feel that, okay? I had fun the other day watching Derek and Sammy and Noah riding on my four-wheeler, and I wanted to get out and kick them off and show them how to really have a blast on that thing. But I can't do that anymore. All right? So in my heart, in many ways, I'm a little kid. I was picking on Carla. She had a birthday cake yesterday that had squares, and you're supposed to put something on it. I won't mention what I wrote in one square. That's up to her to talk about it. Okay? I'll just say we have a special date coming up and let you ask her. But on the other one, I wrote Happy 14. And Karen looked in and she goes, she's not 14. She's over 39. Okay? And I said, no, but she acts like a teenager. That's why we get along. Okay, so you have this. And so many times, people get motivated thinking they can get in that way by earning it. And Balaam wasn't honest. He had the outward appearance of looking right, but he was taking bribes. Sounds a little bit like American government, doesn't it? So you have the error of Balaam. The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Is the root of all evil. That desire or that gain ruins more people. It goes on in there. In verse 11 again. So he says, woe unto them, they have gone the way of Cain. That's why they want their good works to outweigh their bad works. Not accepting this blood sacrifice of Jesus is their only hope of heaven. And then greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, selling off their Christianity for the highest bidder. And it says, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Korah there, that the Old Testament, that's Korah, who led the people in Numbers 16 to go against Moses and say, you take too much on you. We ought to be able to minister like you do. So we're going to, they gave them a challenge. And they all had to put incense in their censers and to see which smoke God accepted before them. And a whole bunch of them died immediately because they were trying to take a position that was not theirs. It was rebellion against Aaron and Moses. Korah was proud, and he refused to submit to the God-ordained leadership that he gave him in those days, which was Moses and Aaron, his second man. Multitudes are following this way today. They won't put themselves under the authority of a local church, under a pastor, and in the Word of God. And he gave some prophets. And some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. As I told you early in this lesson, don't accept what I say. Look it up in Scripture. See if what I say compares with what God says. Scripture with Scripture, Scripture with Scripture. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a matter be established. But you're warned, don't rebel against that. That's the common faith. He rebelled against the leadership. I don't think you need to be part of a local church. Then why God ordained that? Why did God say, submit yourselves unto them who have rule over you, for they watch for your souls? The Apostle Paul said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. And Paul preached only one way. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We got people following tonight. They're going to go into the waters of baptism, believers' baptism. It doesn't make them saved. It's no such thing as baptism being a sacrament that's something that adds to you so you can be more saved. No. Want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, or no man cometh unto the Father, but by me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The need of putting yourself first under the authority of God's word, and then aligning yourself with fellow believers who follow the book. None of us will be perfect. So when you follow the person and it doesn't seem to measure up with the book, you don't follow the person there. You follow God's word. So you have, he speaks of the way of Cain, trying to work your way to heaven. He speaks of the heir of Balaam, trying to buy your way there. He speaks of the way of Korah, rebelling against God's authority. So what they do? They look religious on the outside, but they bring an evil that pulls people away from the truth. Acts 4:11, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we what? Must be saved. We can have different testimonies about what happened when we accept Christ as our Savior, but we still all have to do what? Accept Christ as our Savior. I've told you before, there's Baptists who are going to be in hell because they're trusting their church membership and their standard and their membership in a church and not trusting in Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13 of Jude. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars who is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Those people are going to end up in hell because they're trying to add to the simple salvation found in Jesus Christ. We have to contend for the faith. Contend for the fact Jesus is the only way. They can give good religious talk to please men, but they're not saved. Look at verses 16 through 19. These are murmurers, complainers, walking in their own lust. In their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. You see that? There's a warning there. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. The Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The moment a person prays to receive Christ as their Savior, the Bible promises, you find it in John 14, 15, and 16, that the Holy Spirit will come into you, that your body becomes the temple of the Holy Ghost, that you belong to Him. That's God's earnest payment that He redeemed you from your sin. An earnest payment is a legal term. That's a down payment that secures that no one else can buy that. He's our earnest of the inheritance. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13, 14, and 15 says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. More money is made off twisting the gospel when God made it free. People trying to gain control and getting rich off of it. I don't need to give you the names of the churches that has happened in. There's nothing wrong with having a large church if it's following the scriptures. As long as they aren't closing in so much on themselves and not reaching out. One of the things Pastor was convicted about, we've talked about it before, is the need of a church to plant another church. To plant another Bible-believing church in a nearby community. May be something that he's going to want to look at to be able to do. So we're told to contend for the faith. Now look at verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep ourselves in the love of God. Beloved, if you're saved, can anything separate you from the love of God? Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, right now, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is where? In Christ Jesus. He loves you with an everlasting love. His love is shed abroad on you. For God so loved you, loved me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, Jesus Christ is the only way. No sacraments, no good works, no payments, no being better than your neighbor. Gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. It can't be changed. Nothing can separate us. How many of you ever had a problem that come between you and the person you love the most? Whether it's in a marriage, maybe it's parents, maybe it's children, whatever it might be, and something gets between you. They stop being yours? You stop being theirs? You love them, but right now the things aren't going well because someone's offended someone. So the fellowship is broken. I always used to make our kids, you can ask Michael, we would discipline them to the point that they would repent. Not say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I want to get out of this, I don't want to do this anymore. No, that they'd understand they'd sinned against God. Because the minute they would acknowledge that and ask forgiveness, you know what God says? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's not a confession to be saved. That's after you're saved to get the relationship right again. If there's something between you and the one who loves you more than anyone else, you've got to get it right. Perfect love casteth out fear, it tells us in 1 John 4. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first what? And he says, and I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, ye may be also. Am I there now? Not physically, but I'm in Christ there. And one day I will be there with a new body. In direct, complete spiritual harmony with him because of what he sacrificed for me. For he, this is what I preached on the corner yesterday, for he, speaking of God the Father, this is 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's perfect love. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Fellowship and blessings can affect how we live. He's telling you to contend for the faith here in Jude. Galatians chapter 5. The epistle of Paul to the church at Galatia. The unity of the Spirit is there, the scriptures are there. I love this. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He frees you from the worry of whether heaven's going to be your home or not. Do I measure up? Am I good enough? Jesus was, and it says he gave us his righteousness when we accepted him. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Okay. The way of Cain. Occasion to the flesh. But by love what? Serve one another. Serve one another. We are to keep ourselves in the love of God. We continually must build on that faith. Many people think, oh, the wedding day, you know, the bride, it's the greatest day of her life. No, it's the beginning of her married life. She and the groom making a commitment together. If that's the best day, that's a pretty cruddy marriage. Because you're just learning to get to know each other at that point. You've made a level of commitment. And then you're to grow together, to know together, to be together. To say, I need to do that to please him. I need to do that to please her. We need to do this to please our God. Got to grow in faith. Stand fast. It tells us there in Jude, verse 20, But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The Apostle Paul said, he doesn't live as if he had apprehended it, he'd arrived. He says, I press toward the mark. For what? The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Judy strives to please me. And I don't know why in the world, because sometimes she treats me so much better than I treat her. But we love each other and we're there for each other. And she looks and she'll get, do you like this, honey? She looked at me because we each have our own love languages, right? Some people it's touch. Sometimes it's words of affirmation. Sometimes it's gifts. Whatever it is, that's not important. Each one has their different love language. Do you know what that is? Do you know what pleases your spouse the most? When Judy got done, after 3 hours having her stomach settle down, she spent 3 hours in her Bible after she had to take the medicine that helps us to be together. She goes out and she spends about an hour in the hot sun picking our Long John blackberries that we've planted. And she says, honey, I picked 3/4 of a bucket of them. And she goes, you know what that means? She goes, you got a pie coming. Language of love, you got a pie coming. Maybe that's not your language. That's my language. I got a pie coming. And I kissed her and I said, thank you, sweetie. You're the most beautiful in the world, woman in the world. And she goes, you're just saying that. I go, no, I mean that. You know what God says to us? I offer you a love that has no breaking free from. If you'll accept my love and you'll accept my sacrifice, I will be with you forever. We're supposed to take a stand. Ephesians chapter 6. You got to contend for the faith. What is the truth? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand an evil day, and having done all to what? Stand. You know what our faith rests on? The word of God? It becomes our authority. It becomes what changes how we speak to others, what we say to them. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's teaching. Teaching is given to change the way you think and the way you act. Doctrine for reproof. Tell them when it's wrong. If you don't tell your child when it's wrong, even a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. For correction, telling him how to do it right. For instruction in righteousness, how to continue doing right. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It tells us to pray in the Holy Ghost. That will give us fellowship, power, and direction. Jude verse 20. It's not something where, oh, the Holy Spirit's come upon me. Praying in the Holy Ghost is you're praying according to God's word. Humbling yourself before that and saying, Father, speak to me. Help me so I can love you better because of the way you've loved me. You're supposed to look for the return of Christ. When I had done wrong in my house and my mother had already brought about her correction, the ultimate correction was, wait till your father gets home. When it was wrong, it was like, oh no. Yeah, I got that coming. When there wasn't a problem I hadn't done wrong, my mom would say, Dad's going to be home soon, honey. I'm going to get to be with Dad. Maybe he'll take me fishing. Maybe he'll toss me the ball. Daddy's coming home. The anticipation of it when the heart was right. You know what we're supposed to pray for? Jesus to come back. For the return of Christ. Verse 21 of Jude, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. When he comes back, he's going to set all things right. And with that, we're supposed to have compassion. Verse 22, on some having compassion, co-passion, feeling with them. On some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You witness and lead to others. You tell them about the love of God, and you reach to them and try to get them to see. Their sin keeps them from being able to accept it. So if they will turn to Christ, he will save them because he loves them and wants to save them. And if they reject that, then you have to tell them that their sin is going to take them to a devil's hell because it's a real place. And all who reject Christ go there. So you tell them you hate even the garment spotted by the flesh. You're trying to keep them from the fire. There's no one in here who would not want someone, if their house was on fire and they were asleep at night and someone drove by, they'd want you to stop, run, and beat on the door and scream and honk the horn and say, wake up, wake up, the fire's coming. Yes? And sometimes that's what a believer needs to do when they contend for the faith, because the fire's coming. Sin hates that. They don't want you to do that. You think people are going to think you're nuts, so you aren't going to yell. Now, don't yell fire in an auditorium full of people. But if they need to escape, help them to do so with compassion. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I don't stop sinning to get saved. I depart from it because I want to show my love to the one who saved me. You see it? Rest in the eternal security of Christ because it brings joyfulness, peace, and thanksgiving. That last part of Jude. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What are we supposed to have? Exceeding what? To the only wise God, our Savior. Who's the Savior? There's so much scripture to support that Jesus Christ is God. The Godhead is three: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. The Father, the Word, the living Word, Jesus Christ, John 1. And the Holy Spirit. There's three in one. The Godhead, the Trinity is true. And he says here, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Because the reason God saves a person is to give God glory. Ultimately, the person gains because they get to be with him for eternity. But thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And all God's people said? Amen. Take a quick break.